And we are live. Welcome to the stream, Troy Francis and James Tusk. I am in London, in South London. And Tusk's in a much more glamorous, interesting location in Brazil, aren't you, I think?
I'm in a very strange place called Bonito. And it's incredibly hot. Brazil is a weird one because I've been coming here for a few years, but for a long time I stuck to that coastal kind of line of, and it the big names. You've got Florianopolis, you've got São Paulo, you've got Rio, and if you look on a map, they're all very close together. But I've started venturing more to more random spots, so I'm in kind of the middle of Brazil in a random kind of town. I've probably 50,000 people here, and it's super hot in the day, and it's just blazing heat, you know, where you can sort of see the steaming up with like melting the floor. It's that kind of heat, but it's great to get out here. It's massive gringo factor, and it's just cool to really, you realize what a big place the world is. And I think my issue historically has always been not really appreciating what I have, but when you come to places like this and you see people with very little, you realize how lucky you are in a way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, is it relatively, you know, it's a fairly poor place then, I guess, right? Or is
it's
it?
Not, is there, it's though? Not, it's not like, you know, people are walking around and it's not like a trailer trash, you know, crystal meth den where no one's got any money. People have a bit of money here, but it's not, you know, it's not minted by any means. And you just realize, you know, the people live on very, very little. And I think money's one of these weird things, isn't it? The more you have, the more you spend. But it doesn't necessarily increase your happiness, necessarily.
It doesn't, does it? And what was that figure that they were touting? I think it was about 70K or something. I mean, it may have gone up a little bit now because of inflation, but there was a figure that people were touting as being like, actually, if you earn more than this, your material comfort may increase, but your actual happiness doesn't really increase. And I think there's probably some truth in that. I mean, you know. To some extent. I don't know, man. It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't we all want to be on a super yacht surrounded by, you know, models and all the rest of it? I mean, but even then, when you actually do that kind of thing, are you actually happy, or are you just kind of cosplaying being happy? That's the big question.
Well, it's the Bilzerian thing, isn't it? In his book, he talks about the most unhappy he was when he was, you know, on a yacht having orgies with women, but... It's one of those things, isn't it? It's grass is green. It's all very well. It's like the retired rock star. It's like, you know, Russell Brown or Mick Huckabee, and they've set thousands of women going, oh, it's not about the women. It's just like, you know, but it's very easy to say that once you've done that, right? So I think it's a balance. I think you need to.
Well,
we always talk about.
I'm 100% certain. I'm 100% I'm 100% certain they're right. I don't think it is about that, and I don't think that does make you happy. But the problem is, for the guy who's sitting on the starting line, you know, who can't even get off the first, you know, who can't even get a text back, let alone, you know, a date or anything else, it's pretty cold comfort, isn't it, to hear like Rod Stewart going, oh, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, I agree. You have to go through that process. We all say it, that, you know, happiness is not found. Well, I'm just making this phrase up, but happiness is not found inside a woman. It's true. You have to kind of run out and source your happiness, and you have to figure yourself out. And we always say, well, I think it was the late, great Mr. Tom Torero that said, game is a Trojan horse. You think it's about the women, and you realize it's got nothing to do with the women. But I do think guys have to go through the process of getting out there, being social, learning how to be social animals, flirt, go on dates. I always think that a good number of girls to have slept with, really... And guys may disagree with me on this, but I think personally you have to knock over 100 women to then be in a position where you can say, okay, well, I've kind of learned a skill set now. I've got a repeatable skill set.
Well,
I can do it. I know curious going, well, that's a lot. You know, that are thinking, right, I haven't even slept with one, right? There'll be guys watching this who've never been the same. But having been in this for a long time, I think around 100 is a reasonable number.
That's interesting. That's almost... You could almost say controversial, because, you know, Myron's figure on this is 50, and people were criticizing Myron and saying, oh, that's too high. So 100, you're actually going in at double. But I get where you're coming from. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, whatever the exact figure is, the reality is you need as a guy, you need some experience. You really fucking do.
Well, the reason I say 100 is because I slept with a good looking guy at uni. I'd slept with about 65 women before I got into day game, and but none of that had been through my. I'd been chosen. They weren't the type of women I'd slept with. You know, very naive to the whole dating process. So I'd kind of locked my way into sleep with more than 50, and I had absolutely zero idea with what I was doing. So that's why I've done with 100 number, because I just didn't know what I was doing. I was chosen.
That's a very good point, actually. And I have to say, because I was challenged on this recently. Somebody was, somebody was saying, oh, why do you think it's necessary? Do you actually need to have, you know, physically engaged with these women in order to understand female psyche? And I was like, well, because when I think back, I mean, in my early days, I had absolutely no clue what the fuck I was doing. And also, I ended up with some very, you know, like very, very toxic people that really I shouldn't have been with. And I was just there because, well, you know, I was getting the intimacy. I was getting the, you know, what I felt I needed at the time. And firstly, you don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what the red flags are that you're looking out for. Secondly, you don't know what the fuck you're doing in order to, you know, actually make the dynamic work anyway. And thirdly, well, you just haven't experienced enough to know really what the type that you're looking for as well, you know?
Yes, I agree. And yeah, I think it comes with experience as well. Like, really, I mean, you know, I think you've got a few years on me, but I think men really, if I was going to say, when does a man even become a man these days, I'd say it's plus 35 to really start to figure yourself out. And there's a long way to go, even with my own, you know, self-discovery, but you just don't know much about yourself or the world up to a certain age. And it doesn't negate you having slept with women, but you're almost not the finished article yourself. So it's kind of it's all a learning process, right? And just about, really now, I mean, I'm talking 10 years into really studying this stuff hard and teaching it. I'm starting to get to the point where I actually feel comfortable, very comfortable in the knowledge I have, you know, and the pieces fitting together consistently wherever I go in the world.
Yeah.
But up until this point, you know, I didn't even have that, right? So I think to really learn the female psyche and understand yourself and how you interact with women, it's a lifelong journey, really. And an evolving process. Yeah. And I think guys probably want to cheat the system and buck the trend. But the joy is in a lot of ways in the process, right? It's quite fun to figure this out, not take it too seriously, gamify your life, you know, see it as one big experiment and not get to any one outcome. And if you can take a back step and almost in a very serious kind of market, which is the sexual market, it's ruthless, almost not take it too seriously and realize it is called game for a reason. All is fair in love and war. Yeah. The art of seduction, play many different characters, have fun with it, don't get too attached to the outcome. If you can somehow do that, which in itself is hard to do, then you can actually enjoy the whole process, the highs, the lows, the blows, the amor fati vibe, you know, to life and dating, really. But that in itself is hard to kind of keep a lid on as well, in terms of actually tapping into that kind of that mindset towards it.
Yeah, definitely. You've got to make it fun for yourself. You've got to enjoy it. You've got to not, like, it's we always say, you know, it kind of is life and death on the one hand, because it's, you know, it's you propagating your genes. It's it's in some ways the most important thing in your life is your relationship with other people, and particularly with women and romantic relationships. But on the other hand, it's also a bit of a laugh. It's also, you can also go and have a lot of fun with it. There's also a lot of, you know, enjoyment to be had. And you know, there's like you just said before, I mean, there's a big world out there. You can't take rejection too seriously. You can't take, you know, shit's going to happen. Things are going to go wrong, and you just have to roll with the punches.
Absolutely agree. My Kiel Sartain, Troy and Tusk out doing cocaine. That's why he's late. Oy! Original banter there. And Tusk is homeless.
But he was right. He's
it's the streets
right.
of Brazil, not the streets of Colombia. I'm homeless on. So please, pay attention.
Next. But we actually you came up with a really good title for this stream, which was basically along the lines of, it's everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Well, it's actually a quote. You know, so a lot of the kind of quotes I get is from an app called We Croak, which is slang in the UK, in UK English, for we're going to die. And it's an app based on Tibetan philosophy, which talks about remembering to remember your own mortality five times a day. So five times a day, I get one of these kind of quotes just appearing on my phone. And it kind of just, it's very good. It makes you kind of reflect on the brevity of life.
Yeah.
And death is obviously the great leveler. It should create, whenever I think about the fact I am not going to live forever, and also everyone around me isn't, I actually have a lot more compassion to everyone, right? And you don't take, you don't have so much hate and negativity towards the world. I found it's very helpful for just realizing everything is quite temporary and we're only here for a short time, so you might as well do it with a smile on your face and not take it too seriously. But the quote itself, very clever, isn't it? Because I think everything is everything you can want is the other side of that resistance or that fear, you know, it's self-generated.
It really is. And I mean, this is, you know, obviously we talk predominantly about dating, but I mean, this goes for everything, doesn't it, really? You know, and the biggest strides I've made in my own life have been, as you know, when I have stepped beyond what has either been scary to me or certainly has been sort of like foreign and unfamiliar, and you're reticent, you know, when you're willing to step over that boundary and be like, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. Often what's on the other side of that is for the greater good, you know? But of course the opposing thing, as we all know, is we also often like sitting in our comfort zones as well. And that's the hard bit, you know. It's not even necessarily fear. It's sometimes it's just like, well, I'm comfortable here, so I'm just going to sit here and do fuck all instead of going and taking the action that really I should take.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I think there's a YouTube channel called Better Ideas where he's got some good content. It's more habit building and formation, but he talks about gamifying the resistance of the comfort zone. So whenever you feel resistant to do something, a bit like jumping off a cliff, right? When you're with your friends, you're doing jumping into the water, not suicidal, but just into a you know, high drop into the sea. There's that fear, there's that resistance. But it's almost like if you can go through your life consciously identifying where you have those pockets of resistance and gamifying the resistance to burst through it, that's a way of kind of gamifying the process, right? Not taking it too seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it is so important. It's particularly important, I think, for people who are getting into this and they're trying to learn these dating skills and so on, because
you're always going to have resistance, you know, aren't you, to going out. You're always going to have resistance. You know, you planned in your walk. A way that I'd recommend guys to do it is always, that's worked for me, is always just non-emotionally every day. You've got a half an hour to a 45-minute walk planned into your day to clear your head from work. Could be at lunch, could be post-work. And regardless of how you feel, you just walk out of the house and walk towards a busy area. And if you see women that you like the look of, you just, you know, to coin Robert Glover's phrase in his book, test for interest. So you're just saying something, anything, and just saying, is she high interest? Is she wanting to have a conversation with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's frozen there, actually. But just to continue on that thought, the first Robert Glover book where he talks about high interest versus low interest, it's called Dating Essentials for Men. So not No More Mr. Nice Guy. Everyone knows No More Mr. Nice Guy, which is also great. But Dating Essentials for Men is also really good and you should definitely read it. And one of the key concepts from that is basically what James was just saying, which is this. You're basically going out, you're being super social, and then you're looking for, okay, am I getting high interest here or am I getting low interest? And he says, and I think there's a little bit more nuance to this, but he's kind of right. He says there is no difference between the two. It's one or the other. There's either high interest or there's low interest, okay? If there's high interest, great, proceed with that conversation, carry on, you know, maybe try and have a little bit of banter, a little bit of a flirt, maybe get a phone number, whatever. If there's low interest, and that could include, you know, her being polite, but not, you know, just not really giving you much back, or, you know, she mentions the boyfriend or whatever. They just say, okay, great meeting you. Anyway, have a nice day. And then you move on. Okay. So it's a very, very simple thing. High interest versus low interest. Okay. And it really simplifies the whole process of this thing that guys find so scary, really, which is the idea of going out and doing game, you know, because people think, oh, it's got to be this really, really like complicated, it's got to be this really complicated thing, and I've got to learn all of these different lines and stuff. But if you take it more in the view of just being super social, and as James was saying, just being, you know, looking for high interest versus low interest, you know, it really, it takes the pressure off you a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, I agree. I'm back now. Apologies for the cutout. I think we get, when we get to attach the outcome, that's where the problems lie, aren't they? And we're already planning the fucking, you know, the wedding day fucking orgy we're gonna have with the hot Russian girl we're dating's sister, and we haven't even approached her and said her name yet. We're already preempting all this stuff. And I think just trying to take it step by step, being present is underrated. There's someone that is constantly historically ruminated about the future or worried about the past. Being present has been a revelation when it comes to just interacting with people. And again, this concept that we talk about, you talked about being super social, it should apply to all circumstances. It shouldn't just be you go out and you speak to women twice a day. It should be whenever you're going around your day, just make a bit of small talk with anyone you get the opportunity to, right? Because we're trying to turn into more socially extroverted people. A lot of the clients we work with are very logical thinkers, very introverted, don't really like socializing with people because they've never been good at it. You've got to see this as an overhaul to your personality and an upgrade, not just, I want to get laid. I want to become a social animal, because everything in life is found through interacting with people, really. You've got to deal with people in your life. You can't avoid people, right? If you want to get anywhere, we live in a, you know, we have to interact with human beings, right? Unless we're flying off a mountain on our own, you know, as some kind of Buddhist monk. But the reality is, guys watching this content, that's not the life they want to live. So you've got to learn.
Unless you're like, you know, the head of the government in Russia or something, and you're watching this, and you're, you know, heavily fortified, and you know, you don't have to see, you just see a few personal aides, and that's it, and they bring in your food, and then you know, I mean, if you're in that situation, then you probably don't need to interact that much. But you know, for the rest of us, we kind of, you know, like you say, it's all about the social connections that we make. It's all about the personal, interpersonal connections we make with other people, really, that makes anything happen at all. And one of the problems I find guys increasingly will talk about is, if you've got a very analytical, like, cerebral job where you are sitting and looking at spreadsheets all day and everything, how do you switch from that to being the super fun social guy, you know, when you go out or you go to the club or you go to the bar or even down to Starbucks? You know, it's very difficult sometimes to flip, isn't it, from that being in that, in one mode, into being into the other mode.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think something that helped me was watching a bit of stand-up comedy or a comedian I like to look off on YouTube, just a few clips. I mean, I used to like a comedian called Sean Locke. So I'd often watch some of his clips on 8 out of 10 Cats or 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown or something like that, just to get me in the mood, just to warm me up, right, when I was coming out of a very, sometimes doing more logical work. I think it's a mind game, though. All of this is just a mind game, isn't it? It's like when you put yourself in the scenario of being on the street and you're walking around, if you're monotasking, which is what you should do in life, you know, one task at a time, and you're just, everything is focused on just being a bit more social, you will find the lines, you will get into the rhythm if you just take the action. So, I mean, I used to go from quite a bit working on my own on a Friday into a bar or a club. And it would be a bit of a shock to the system, right? I'd have to just throw myself into 10, 15 different approaches. But as soon as I'd done that, regardless of whether I got horribly blown out or whether, you know, something came of the conversation, I would be in the zone. I'd be in the vibe. So I think it's just about accepting that. A bit like going to the gym. Like I love exercise, but I rarely feel like going to the gym. After this live stream, I'm going to go down to some shitty gym about 20 minutes away in this random fucking town I'm in. It's probably going to be a gym. It's probably going to be hot. And I don't want to go in my head. But as soon as I'm actually there, listening to some music, actually working out, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be in the zone. So I think the thought of things is often way worse than actually doing them, right? And if you just can consistently get situations where you're being social, you will find a flow with it. We're built to be social as human beings. Even if you're massively introverted and you've got massive social anxiety, you're still a human being that is built to socialize. It's in your DNA. So it is hidden in there, just unleashing the beast, really, and being consistent.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, the truth of the matter is as well, most people, I mean, even me at my most introverted when I was like a teenager or whatever, I was still able to be super social with my friends, like, and people like I knew well. I could still joke around. I could still, you know, so it wasn't that it wasn't present in me. It was just that I only allowed it to come out in certain situations with certain people. So it was definitely there. And that's the thing. And once you, I think with a lot of this stuff, you've got to realize, okay, I am actually capable of this. And it's the old thing as well, you know, if another man can do it, I can do it as well. So if that guy over there can be the life and soul of the party, I'm a human being, I have the same faculties basically as him, I can also do it. It's just a question of chunking it down and saying, okay, so how do I get there? You know, whether that's process or about, you know.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. And I think, I don't know, but, you know, I think we overthink it. I really do. I think we live in a we live in a time where good times create soft men, right? And especially in the Anglo sport, it seems like life and death, doesn't it, to approach a woman? But you've got to also take a back step and realize we're at the very top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs for this stuff. It's like, it seems like what seems like a massive deal, walking out the house and going to speak to women, in terms of a life and death situation, it's not that big a deal, right? You know, you think about Ukrainian 18-year-old called up to the front line to fight Russian forces. When you compare that to this, this is fuck all. But I think we have a tendency, and I see it myself and clients, to completely like overemphasize how big a deal this is. And the more you build it up in your head as a big deal, the more it's going to be a big deal. But you're built to operate with the opposite sex. We're built to reproduce. And it's a fucking 100-pound woman. She's a quarter of your size. She doesn't have fucking teeth. She's not actually going to attack you, right? And I think it's just a lot of it is a mind game. Having now gone through the ringer with this stuff for decades, if I'm trying to like devise the kingdom mentally, it's about putting it into context that it's not that big a deal. Try to take the emotion out of it as much as you can. Try to plan it and just be consistent and just be as social as you can most of the time you're out. And you will get there quicker than you think. But if you have a kind of doom and gloom stuff, black and white thinking, it's going to seem like a way bigger deal than it should do. And it's going to stifle.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, we've got actually at the moment 136 live viewers in here, which is pretty big. So we need to get 136 likes on the video to try and push it up the algorithm. And if anyone's got any questions or anything, put them in the chat, because I don't know how long we're going to be on today, but if you've got any questions or anything you want us to cover, stick them in the chat and we'll go through them. But
two key announcements to add in. So myself and Troy, these are the final live streams we're running before the Edge 3 course officially kicks off. It is
on the 14th.
Yes, March the 14th, this Thursday, Steak and Blowjob Day, Male Valentine's Day. We've got the lineup of speakers we've got is phenomenal. It's all about, you know, we've got every area covered. We've got Dave Lee, one of the world's leading hormone experts, talking about male hormones. We've got Bonaparte, leading elite sex coach, talking about how to get over sexual shame, how to become a sexual, you know, boss in the bedroom. We've got myself and Troy giving talks all throughout the process on day game, dating, texting. We've got other coaches coming in talking about fashion, fitness, diet, nutrition. It's going to be fucking phenomenal. And then on top of that, on top of the webinars you get access to, you have access to myself, Troy and Les personally mentoring you for 12 weeks on the day game approaching, giving you feedback, giving you gamified tasks to turn you into a social animal. And the entire cost of this is £579. It's nothing. So if you want, like, honestly, like an amazing course we put together, just send Troy an email, troy@realtroyfrancis.com, or send me an email, info@jamesuss.com, and jump in before the course begins. We've been doing the preliminary task with guys. It's been going well. But this course is honestly something we're very proud of. It's phenomenal. And just as an announcement, we're also running a boot camp 4th to the 7th of April in Bogota, Colombia. If you haven't been, it's one of the best places in the world for day game and for night game. Extremely high gringo factor. When we say gringo factor, what we mean is, as a guy from the UK or the US or Germany, Europe, and you go over there, there's very few foreigners. So your value, your sexual market value, is comparatively very high. Women in Colombia, in Bogota, are very hot, very sexual. It's a great place to date. It's carnage. There's going to be myself and Troy and four other coaches there. 10 students, so 2-to-1 ratio of coaches to students. We've got 3 spaces remaining for that. £2,797, so £1,000 discount on normal boot camp price. So two things to consider: the Edge 3, £579, or the Bogota boot camp, 4th to the 7th of April. They're both going to be wild for different reasons, but get in touch, send us an email, and we can discuss the options with you. But that's really...
And ideally, you want to do both, because the great thing about doing the online course is you get the online build up first, and you'll get a lot of the theoretical stuff down. You'll get us hand-holding you through various tasks and the things before you go out and actually do the infield work. But, you know, if that's not for you, but you want to jump straight into the infield stuff, then, you know, 100% come along to the Bogota event, because it's going to be, you know, off the charts, basically.
Phenomenal stuff. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt the train of thought. It's important to...
No, not really. God. No, I was just wondering, because a lot of people now, we've talked about a bit about this behind the scenes, and a lot of people are talking about, okay, so you got... Because we've always taught what you might call cold approach, which is basically walking up to somebody and having a fucking conversation. And, you know, I would still you know, I would still die on the hill of saying I believe that every man should learn to do that, and it is the most important fundamental skill. However, obviously, as we know, it's 2024. There's different ways of meeting people. A lot of people are using online. A lot of people are talking more about kind of social circle type stuff. I was just wondering what, you know, if you wanted to talk about your current thoughts on this. I think I veer to sort of towards, I've never had a massive problem with guys using dating apps as well as doing some approaching. The problem is that the dating apps are pretty shit for most guys. They don't work very well for most guys. So if you're relying on that, then, you know, you just as your sole outlet, you're probably going to be pretty fucked. So I would say that it makes sense to also learn to do the social stuff as well, which is kind of mainly what we teach. But then you've also got this kind of social circle thing as well, haven't you? And there is also a place for that, I reckon. I think he's frozen again. Well, I'll continue.
I'm still here. Weirdly, okay. If I cut out, then just carry on. But
yeah,
I think you're right. I think it's about having many, a bit like having multiple income streams. You want different outlets for being social, and I think the apps play a part, as does the social circle stuff. But I do think the base of it all is actually learning to be social and learning to be socially calibrated, because that's what a lot of guys lack. So it's all very well, isn't it, like stringing together an amazing Instagram and then messaging girls, but if you're not very social, if you're a bit awkward and a bit uncomfortable in your own skin being social, you're still fucked, because you still got to meet these girls and date them and introduce them and have relationships with them. And if your social skills aren't on point, you're going to struggle. So
yes,
really is the basis for all of this. I think there is absolutely a place for using digital leverage. We live in a time where you can reach and hit many, many women, you know, using digital platforms, but still being a social animal and still getting out there and being as social as you can and gamifying social skills and becoming a very charismatic dude who understands how to socialize properly is the base for all of this stuff. So never really goes away, does it?
Yeah. No, I would agree. And that exactly the same thing applies for the apps, because even if you're using the apps and you're getting dates off the apps, if your game, you know, your ability to sort of connect with her when you sit down on that date is shit, then you're going to lose more than you win. Exactly. So, and that seems to happen a lot. You know, I hear stories about this a lot where guys will say, oh, you know, I'm matching with these girls and then we go out and then, you know, we do the date and I don't get a call back or she ghosts me or whatever. And you kind of think, well, I'd be very interested to see what you're doing on those dates and how you're coming across. Cause I bet you in a lot of cases, these dudes are shooting themselves in the foot, you know, and then they'll blame, oh, it's the dating marketplace. Women have got these high expectations and blah, blah, blah. And there's truth in that. But at the same time, if you're not bringing, and this is why we called the course the edge, because if you don't have some of that edge, if you don't have some of that kind of indefinable thing that makes her fascinated with you, and you're bringing that into the equation, then you can't really blame them for looking elsewhere. Because you can't just sit there like a sack of potatoes and expect her to want to get intimate with you.
No, I agree. And I think a lot of guys don't understand that you know, women have now as well the most options they've ever had, and the sexual market is ruthless. And the stats back it up, right? The top 1% of men are getting laid more than ever before, and the bottom percentage of men are having the least sex in historical terms of all time. So you know, it's ruthless out there, and you've got to level up. You can't just sit there and expect women to fall into your lap. It's not going to happen. You've got to get out there and level yourself up socially, but also try and assimilate, try and actualize on every level.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've frozen there, but there's also this whole issue about you know, these external things like money and looks and so on, and how important those are to the process. And obviously, they will help to, you know, to get you in front of the kind of women that probably you want to meet. They will certainly help, you know, give, particularly something like money will help give great experiences and fun times and so on and so forth. But again, if you're relying on that as your main selling point and you don't have anything else, then there's a danger that you're just going to get left behind in the dust as well. So you really need to, the social side of things, whether you want to talk about just basic social skills, or you want to talk about developing charisma, or you want to talk about sort of, developing edge, which is obviously what we've called the course, you really need to get that dialed in. You know, you really need to ensure that that really is the biggest piece of the puzzle. Okay, now how you do that is, of course, the $1 million question, and that's what we've broken down in the Edge course. So we've broken it down into varying things, including elite hormone optimization. Okay, so the first thing is looking at, you know, how healthy are you? What's your hormonal makeup like? You know, are you, what's your testosterone levels like? How are you faring in all of those areas? So looking at that and getting a professional diagnosis on that. The second thing is what we call godlike sexual magnetism, which is being comfortable with being, you know, a sexual person, with being somebody who's flirtatious and fun and doesn't have any hang-ups in that area, doesn't suffer from sexual shame and so on. The third thing, which is the D of Edge, is to do with the dark triad stuff or the bad boy stuff, if you like. It's the dangerous gentleman thing where you're kind of, you've got the twinkle in the eye, but at the same time, you've got a little bit of the bad boy going on as well. Have you got that in place? And then the fourth thing is kind of the social skills that we've been talking about. So basically emotional and social intelligence. Do you have those dialed in? Are you able to conduct yourself in a fitting manner when you're out and about on the social scene? If you get those four things dialed in, and a lot of guys, I mean, and this is all based on having worked with a whole bunch of dudes over the past decade or so in various different locations all over the world, a lot of the guys that we teach just simply don't have these things dialed in. And that fundamentally is why they're not getting the results that they would otherwise get. It's not usually to do with looks. It's not usually to do with, it might be that the dude's out of shape. That's something to address, but it's often not necessarily to do with that. It's not necessarily to do with money. It's not necessarily to do with, you know, what does his haircut look like? These things are sort of peripheral things. And yeah, we should absolutely be leveling up on all of them. But if you don't have the very, very fundamental things that are really going to turn the dial sorted, then you're just not going to get the kind of success you could otherwise get. For some reason, I don't know if there's any more comments here, but I can't see anything. Maybe just no one's writing any comments. But if you do have any questions or anything you want us to cover, put them into the chat. I don't actually know. I'm just going to turn the camera off 1 second. To check whether Mr. Tusk is going to come back in or not. I'm not sure what the situation is with his Wi-Fi, but it's how you're coming across. That's what's going to make the difference. It's not all of this external stuff. The external stuff will help, but if you don't have the fundamentals dialed in, then you're going to kind of be screwed. Anyway, on that note, I think James is having some issues with his internet connection, so we're probably going to wrap this one up. We've been on for over half an hour anyway. So thanks for joining us. We're going to do another one tomorrow at the same time, and then also on Wednesday. So if you've got any requests for things you'd like us to cover, put them in the comments below. Give this video a like, please, on the way out. That would be really helpful. Subscribe to the channel and share this. If there's anybody out there that you know you think would find this helpful, find this conversation of use or interesting, please forward it on to them. And as James said, look, if you want any more information about the online course or indeed the possibility of the live training in Bogota, Colombia, drop me an email, troy@realtroyfrancis, or drop James an email, info@jamestusk, or just email us both, and we'll get back to you and we can facilitate something pretty quickly. But this is about to start, basically. The course starts properly this week on Thursday, so you've only really got a couple of days. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. I'll see you guys again very soon. Bye-bye.